Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, and we're bringing to you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Friday, February 28th, 2014. Once again, thank you for joining the program. What an active day in the markets. If you had to pick a day where you could actually see market rigging going on, I'd raise my hand and say it was today. Some of the crazy numbers, and I mean, all the world is just in a, it's incredible. Gold should have been up $50, $75 today. Market should have been down a couple hundred points. We'll get into all the little reasons why we should have expected to see those numbers today. You have gold today down $6 at $13.26. 80. You have silver down 14 cents at 21.22. Platinum down 4 at 14.47. And you have palladium holding at 7.46. Now, here's the clincher. You had the USDX today dropping below 80.50. You have that type of a drop, you're going to have, you should have some kind of reaction in gold. 79.77. for the U.S. dollar in the index. I would expect gold to be up big on Monday. I mean, just and also what's happening with Russia and Ukraine, and we'll be talking about that later in the program. With everything that's going on, it's hard to believe that the markets did end up higher and gold lower. You have crude oil up just a couple pennies at 102.45. And the markets today, you had the Dow up over triple digits. And I think the high was like 126. About an hour before the close, it did a reversal. It dropped, and it was down like 45 points. Would you believe it actually ended up 49 at 16,321? And they had to do this. This is the last day of trading. They had to go out with a big bang, and that's exactly what they did. So the U.S. stocks posted very strong gains for February. Both the Dow and the S&P each gained 4%. You had the NASDAQ, that added on 5%. It fits up for their little warm and fuzzy world that they live in. You had the Dow at 49 at 16,321. The NASDAQ, that didn't manage to the upside down 10. At 43.08, and the S&P would hit another record up 5 at 18.59. And the 10-year yield is still holding 2.66, up 0.02. So, you know, they got to keep those numbers high, particularly at the end of the month, particularly with all the tensions that we're seeing, although mainstream media. Good afternoon, Al. I'm all fired up today.
You're not just fired up. You're a little bit aggravated by it all. You're going to have to wait till Monday to see gold go up.
I mean, I wouldn't.
It's pretty amazing. The U.S. dollar fell by 0.5 and dropped down below 80, and gold drops $6.50.
And I do believe you don't have to have knee-jerk reactions every time something happens. I mean, you can have the stock market drop, you know, 800 points. That's not necessarily gold will go up. I mean, I get that. I understand that. But when you have something like the U.S. dollar and you have the China, I mean, they're just whacking their currency. I mean, we have an article on that. We're going to be talking about how China is manipulating their currencies for lower. And that's going to upset the U.S. You have Ukraine. You have Russia. Yeah, they have a warship. I don't know how many they have. The last time I saw it was one. Somebody said they had more than one warships in Havana. Russia's checking out various places around the globe to where they could park some of their military equipment and jets, fighter jets and so forth, so they can be positioned. Certainly Ukraine. You have hear all kinds of things coming out of Ukraine. And it's funny how you listen to the media, Al, and all day long, the two things that I heard them talk about Putin was, is he... he should be acting like a statesman and not like the Cold War thug.
What do you mean by that? Do you mean that he shouldn't get involved in what happens in the Ukraine?
Exactly. That's what they were discussing.
Well, it may be that there may be a point to this. And we can do it right now if you want to talk about it. Turns out if you take a look at the map, at some maps provided by the New York Times, it turns out that the Ukraine was a much smaller country up until about 1954. And what happened is the Soviet Union donated part of the land that had formerly been Russia, and that included the east side of what is the Ukraine today, the east side, about half of it, and the Crimea, which is kind of like a ball that's hanging down into the Black Sea below, directly below this, the east side, and fairly close to Russia. It turns out that the east side, the people in the Crimea, which is something like a big island, and the people on the east side of the Ukraine are actually of Russian extraction. Russian. They speak Russian. It is their culture. And they got separated from Russia back around 1954. And the Ukraine itself, they're the people at the west side of what we call the Ukraine today. They speak Ukrainian. They don't speak Russian. I don't doubt that they speak Russian as a second language, but their native language is Ukrainian. So this isn't simply a political situation where somebody's trying to make a grab. We have two different cultures, and they've only been united now for 60-some years. And there are, of course, memories and, you know, cultural attachments, and you got a bunch of Russian people on the east side of what is today the Ukraine who want to go back and be associated with Russia. And my guess is, and Putin knows that, but there are other motives for this that involve they need access, better access to the shipping, and better access to oil pipelines that are going down to where they move oil and petroleum products through. I believe it's the Black Sea, and there's other considerations, but the fundamental point is that roughly half of the modern Ukraine is in fact part of Russia, historically. And I'm going to make you a bet that this is going to go. They're going to go back and they're going to join Russia. And no amount of defensive nonsense from the United States is going to stop this. The people's culture is with Russia. They're going to go join the culture that they used to be part of. In the same sense that East Germany, even though it was separated from West Germany for decades, they came back and they joined. the Germans, you know? So I think that's what's going to happen. And the complaints that we see criticizing Putin and the rest, they're not going to be effective, and they may not even be particularly valid because two cultures. Mm-hmm. Got some Russian people who want to go home, want to be part of it, want to be part of Russia. I don't doubt they're going to. That's what's going to happen. The Ukraine is going to be reduced in size, and Crimea and eastern Ukraine, that'll join Russia here in the near future.
Well, you certainly are seeing all kinds of, you know, comments and reporting, and you really don't know what to believe, but it is certainly going to hit a peak. And, you know, Putin, I mean, he's, I'm not saying he does everything right and, you know, mm-hmm. and so forth. But on the other hand, look what has happened. I mean, you had Snowden going to Russia. You have Syria, where they sided with. And you have Cyprus, where they had tons of money lost, and they were trying to help them there. What else is going on with Russia? You had the Olympics. I mean, all the pre-media frenzy prior to the Olympics, you know, I think a lot of that had all been distorted just to downplay the Olympics, all the hoopla, terrorists and what's going to happen and, you know, should we boycott them and all this kind of stuff. Now you have Ukraine. What else is, you know, I mean, he's had it fairly active. And
well, Putin's no fool, and he's not a lightweight. I mean, he's a strong, intelligent man, and he's doing what's right, by and large. I mean, I'm not arguing that Putin is perfect or anything like that. But I wish we had politicians in this country that were as interested in doing what's right for the United States of America as Putin is in doing what's right for Russia. Now, it's not necessarily right for anybody else, but at least he's standing up for his own country. How many people, how many congressmen do you think we can make that statement about? How many senators and how many presidents, you know, are standing up for America? Oh, no, they're not. We are being betrayed by our government, and Putin is trying to do the right thing. And when you do try to do the right thing up there in, you know, in any nation.
Sure, look at Cruz. Look how they've, you know, began calling him names.
Yeah.
We have a caller, Al. We have Lily from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Hi, Lily.
Hello, Lily. Hello, how are you doing?
Just fine. What you got for us?
I have a comment about the Ukraine. I know a little bit about it, and I was over by the border of in Czechoslovakia a couple times already, but I never crossed over to see my relatives in the Ukraine. It was too big of a problem with visas and everything. But those people that are living by the Carpathian Mountains there, their native language is Hungarian. There's villages and villages. After World War One, the maps were redrawn from Austria-Hungary, and and the major countries that had nothing to do with those people living on the ground. If you would look at Google Map and you just started redrawing borders, the people there by the Carpathian Mountains of the border of Czechoslovakia now and Ukraine and Hungary down below, that was all Hungarian people, and it still is Hungarian people. My father was born, I don't know what it was called, he was Hungarian, but he was went to schools when the borders were changed. He still was born on the same piece of property where his ancestors were, but the people, the schools were meant to, they taught Ukrainian.
Yeah.
And they used my father as an interpreter for taking people's land away when they were taxing the people. And he came over here. He couldn't stand that. But, again, in getting the our country involved over there, it would be wrong. We'd have to fix our country first. We are not free here. The militia would be the ones to fix our country. If we were to ask our, if we were to beg for help for you, for Ukraine, who would we send? It would be the NATO troops, the troops that are bringing in the New World Order. It would be Obama's troops, and they are the ones bringing in the New World Order. Our people here in the United States, we need to be freed first, and we can't get organized here. How can we send troops to Ukraine, Syria, any place when our country is not free in the first place?
I agree.
So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Lily.
Thank you, Lily.
Lily brings up, and I believe she's exactly right, is what we are dealing with is an arbitrary line that's been drawn, and we said, well, this is the Ukraine. Somebody came out and they defined the country in a way that did not previously exist. They drew these new lines and superior forces and powers said, you're going to be in the Ukrainian, and people said, I want to be a Ukrainian. Yeah, you're going to be in the Ukraine. Well, the people who drew those lines in the first place are no longer around. And now there's an opportunity for people to reestablish the cultural ties that previously existed. And I can't imagine how that's going to be stopped. And you could go involve yourself in this right now. You can send military over there as if you're defending the Ukraine. But the truth of the matter is, the real Ukraine was much smaller up until 50, 60 years ago. It grew artificially, and now, you know, essentially it captured some land, and now that land is going to go back with the people. So we have no business over there. And we can't, and more importantly, I don't see how we can hope to stop the eastern part of the Ukraine, today's Ukraine, from going back and joining up with Russia. The Russians. They speak Russian. They are Russian. They want to be with Russia. Why not? You know, the whole thing is just, it may be crazy. It may be wrong. A lot of innocent people are going to be, will be hurt, but we have no business being there. Let these kids settle it on their own. You understand? And we'll fight other battles if and when we get around to it, but that's not one for us. What have we got here for time, Melody?
Just about two minutes. But with everything going on, gold should have been higher today with the hit that we saw on the dollar. And this is one situation, one event. Is this going to be the event? I don't think this is the event, but it certainly could be a lead up to it. And because people get crazy and you get involvement when you have money involved. You have everybody's promising the IMF. I mean, they need Ukraine wants $35 billion this year and $35 billion next year. And
I'd like to have $35 billion this year for myself.
I would just be happy as long as
they're handing it out, I suppose I can get into an argument with somebody and say, I need $35 billion to stop arguing.
Why don't we
work something out, Melody? You and I could get into an argument, and we could call Obama and say, listen, we need $35 billion to work this out.
I don't need 35. I don't need 35.
We can split it. We'll take 35 and you take half and I'll take half. But I don't think we're going to put any military over there. Jack our jaw a little bit and we'll make some. Who knows? But nothing's going to come of it. We're already broke. We're cutting back on the size of the military. We are not going to get involved except to sit on the sidelines and snipe at them with words, and that'll be as far as it goes. And I'll bet money Putin understands that. And this is going to happen probably not so long from now. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375. I knew that would get you. I sent Melody an email earlier today, and I knew it would crack her up. It's just a picture. It's entitled, some of you may have seen it already, it's How to Tell If Your Dog is Involved in a Sex Scandal. And there's a picture of a dog that just has this peculiar face on it. And then there's half a dozen politicians and underneath it who have been caught in a sex scandal. And they all have the same expression as the dog. And I knew it would make Melody laugh.
Yes.
So in any case,
sign up to our newsletter, folks, and we'll try and post that for the newsletter.
I can do that. I've got it. I've got the. Unless you can have somebody else just, you know, pull it up and yeah, that's fine. You can catch it. No problem.
So folks, go to our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter if you want to get a picture of the cartoon. That was cute. But yeah, I mean, it was the last thing that I expected. In fact, when I saw the when I saw the subject line, I thought, "Do I even want to open this?" I was a little scared, Al.
It's funny. It's just funny. That's all. And it's
So make sure you sign up for the newsletter. And folks, for those of you who are having problems, I've been getting calls and people have been telling me that they can't listen to the programs, the updated programs on the website. So if you're having that problem, we have checked it. I've gone online. My computer man has gone online. My staff has gone online. we all get the updates, so I don't know why certain computers are not updating it automatically. I don't know if you need to break your connection, restore it, or resave it as a favorite or whatever, but I'd be interested in knowing if anybody is continuing to have that problem.
I'm not sure I understand what problem we're talking about right now.
From my website, they can listen to the archives.
Yeah.
And for some people, they're just getting February 12th. But yet when we go online with our computers and listen to all of them, they're all proper. They're all updated. So and I've had multiple calls about they're not getting the update. So I don't know why. I don't understand how it can be work for some. And
it's one of the miracles that it's probably in the Snowden. He's probably in some of his files. They'll have an explanation for this.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'd be interested in knowing if anybody's having that problem, too. I mean, I don't know what we can do because we've checked everything. Everything seems to be working, so. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. February 28th, Monday, we're going to start the new month.
This is February 28th.
Right. Monday, we're going to be March 3rd, third day in March already. So we're going to have some great specials coming out for beginning to start the month off and some great prices. And I do expect gold and silver to be higher next week. What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing about that joke.
Still?
I'm just lacking. It's just a graphic. That's all it is. Just picture of one dog and I think maybe nine men. But I just, Melody said, "Is it funny?" I said, "Some people might think so." I knew that, I didn't want to build it up, but I thought that'd get a laugh out of you. So what else, Melody? What's next?
Just what's in the news gets a laugh out of me today when they gold and the dollar down, but. We did talk about stocks. They're heading in. What about gold fixing? We're talking about gold, and the gold should be higher. And today was a perfect example of how they rigged the market, manipulated it, so it wouldn't go up on a day that it should.
Here's an article from Bloomberg. Mainstream media. London gold fix study shows signs of a decade of manipulation. Now, this isn't surprising. This isn't news to anyone who's followed gold for the past decade. Virtually, if you've been around gold at all, if you've paid any attention to it, if you've been fascinated and you considered investing in it or you have invested in it, you're probably aware of the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, GATA. And they've been arguing for right about a decade. I'm not sure how many years, but it probably runs in terms of a decade. They have been presenting evidence that the gold market is manipulated. And throughout most of the last decade, their evidence has been ignored or poo-pooed, and nobody paid much attention to it. But in the last year, it's becoming common knowledge. Everybody, the gold market's been manipulated. We don't understand that. And this is important. The fact that the price has been suppressed is important. And here are some excerpts from the article from Bloomberg. And it says, talk of manipulation in gold markets is certainly nothing new, but an article this week is raising more eyebrows. The London Gold Fix, a benchmark used by the gold market to value the metal, may have been manipulated for a decade by the banks settling it. And this is according to a Bloomberg article, and they give more details on it. The article cites an unpublished draft research paper from New York University's Stern School of Business. Professor Rosa Abrantes-Metz and Albert Metz, managing director at Moody's Investment Service, Bullion Vault, said the gold fix mechanism involves gold dealers at five of London's biggest bullion banks, and they go on through some details, which we don't have to deal with right now. The writers of the research report, according to Bloomberg, said, quote, the structure of the benchmark is certainly conducive to collusion and manipulation, and the empirical data are consistent with price artificiality. What they mean by price artificiality is if the market says the price of gold is $1,320. Well, the reason it's $1,320 is not because that's the free market price. That's the manipulated market price. And it's not really what the price should be. The article said the paper is the first to raise the possibility that the five banks overseeing the London Gold Fix, Barclays, Deutsche Bank, Bank of Nova Scotia, HSBC Holdings, and Societe Generale may be working together to manipulate the rate. It says it's the first. Truth of the matter is, God has been talking about this for 10 years. And it's not just in London. It's happening in comics as well here in the United States. Now, this is important to everyone because we can wonder, why is it that the mainstream media is finally considering the idea that, oh my gosh, the gold markets and the price of gold may be manipulated? Why are they coming to that now? The news has been here for a decade or most of that.
More.
Well, I don't know how long.
It's been a long decade.
But mainstream media is just now catching up. And there's a question here. Why is mainstream now reporting the truth? Is it just they thought it was silly, the previous reports from GATA and the previous evidence, they ignored it, they didn't pay any attention? Were they forced to ignore it? Well, we don't know. But it is a question for a lot of us. Is the mainstream media being allowed to indicate that manipulation has been going on? And if so, why? The reason that this is important is that it may signal that the manipulation is about to come to an end. I don't mean next week, but within, who knows, could happen this year. And there's a lot of reason to think this is possibly correct. It's certain to happen sooner or later. But given the amount of physical gold that's left at the COMEX warehouse, they don't really have enough to continue to do business the way they've done in the past. They're going to be out of gold in the next couple of months. And when they are, what happens to a gold market when all they've got is paper? Will it hold together? And the answer is probably not. I don't think it's going to succeed. When it does, what happens to the price of gold? What happens when the manipulation ends? And the answer is the price of gold will increase dramatically and probably in pretty short order. When the manipulation is removed, we use the analogy on a regular basis, talk about taking a beach ball, hold it underwater. You can hold it down there and fight with it. Go swim to the bottom of the pool with the beach ball, and you can hold it down there. And, you know, the beach ball keeps trying to get up to the top, get to the surface. And eventually you run out of air, or the beach ball just wiggles around and you lose it, and it goes flying up through the water and even up out of the water. Jumps out of the water, goes into the air. Well, that's something that we can expect with gold and silver. The prices have been manipulated downward. They've been suppressed for a decade. It doesn't mean that gold didn't rise during that decade, but it did not rise as much as it would have if we were in a free market. We're going to catch up on that. And the reason it's important is because if the manipulation is going to end, then the price of gold is guaranteed to go up. That's the significance of this. It means that if somebody wants to go out and buy some gold right now, and you're willing to sit on it, you'll have to hold it for a while. You might have to hold it, if you were lucky, 90 days. You might have to hold it a couple of years. I don't know how long. I don't know when the manipulation is absolutely going to end, but it looks like we're coming to an end of it. And because the price has been artificially suppressed, it will come up to a fair free market price. And when it does, there's going to be substantial increase and profit for those who have purchased gold before the manipulation ends. After the manipulation ends, we're liable to see the price of gold. Who knows? It might double. It might do more. No one knows. I can't say for sure. But it's going to be a significant rise. And if you wait for the manipulation to end, you're going to miss a great buying opportunity. If you buy now, when even mainstream media, this article in Bloomberg isn't the first one, really. They say it's the first, but it's not. I've seen other mainstream media talk about manipulation of gold markets in the last couple of weeks. This is an idea whose time has come. It's going to break loose. And what happens to the price of gold when they can't artificially suppress it? It's going to emulate the beach ball and come flying up from the bottom of the pool and burst right out of the water. If you're investing in beach balls, it'll be a good time.
Well, you know, today, in support of gold and the recovery, our so-called recovery, our economy grew at a 2.4% annual rate last quarter. And, of course, that is much less than what everyone had thought and predicted. And, of course, the consumers just didn't spend as much as what everybody thought. And, of course, we've talked about this before, that they were going to blame it on the severe winter weather. And we're going to get more bad weather, so they're already setting it up for the current quarter to perhaps show that consumer spending is not what it should be. So growth won't be rebounding until, you know, what, April? Easter is late in the season, late in April, so that'll probably be your first reason for anybody to start purchasing anything as far as holidays goes. But the Commerce Department today reduced its estimates of economic growth in the October-December. They initially had reported a 3.2% annual rate. And so, as I mentioned, they revised it. And this is the weakest quarterly showing since the first quarter of 2013. And I don't remember December really having bad weather. I mean, I thought most of the bad weather came in January is when it started, but I could be wrong. But then you have the stock markets again that are extremely higher. And the outlook among younger Americans and the higher stock market pushed up the measure of U.S. consumer sentiment. In February, it wasn't a big increase. It was rather small, but it did have an uptick. It moved 81.6 in February from 81.2 in January, but it is still slightly below December's figures. And what's interesting,
and when you talk about sentiment, are we talking about confidence in the economy?
Consumer confidence. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what's interesting is the survey also found that Americans under age 35 have grown more optimistic that their pay will increase. Like, what are they basing that on? On average, know what they're basing
it on. They're
stamping
up the amount of fluoride they put in the drinking water, and pretty soon we're all just kind of floating
around. They expect their income gains of 5% over the next 12 months, and that's the largest expected gain since November of 2006. And mainly what they're basing it on is the stock market. They see the stock market higher. Hey, corporations are making all this money. The economy is doing great. I'm going to be getting a raise. Woo-hoo. And that's certainly not going to be the case. And come December, when they're still waiting for that 5% increase in their wages, I can only imagine how they're going to start cutting back at the holidays or prior to the holidays anyway. So that's why the stock markets are so important.
Well, it's because people believe in them, and that's why they are also being manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
Stock markets are being held artificially high. Gold and silver are being held artificially low. There's a message there. You know, if you want to invest, there's a message. There's no point to investing in something that's artificially high. There's plenty of reason to invest in something that's artificially low. It's a gift. It's a blessing. You can sit back and say, thank God for the manipulators. You know, if it weren't for them, the price of gold would probably be $2,400, $2,500 an ounce right now. All right, so they have created an extraordinary buying opportunity for those of you who have enough sense to see it and enough courage to act on it. You got a great shot right now, precisely because the government and the bankers have tried to manipulate the markets for years. If that stops, you're going to make money on gold, guaranteed. I'm Alfred Adisk. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. Alfred Addis, Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival. We're back. What's next, Melody?
Just a recap for next week's events and economic reports that are scheduled to be released on Monday. The Commerce Department releases personal income and spending for January. The Institute for Supply Management releases its manufacturing index for February. The Commerce Department releases construction spending for January, and the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee hearing on proposed changes to generic drug labeling. And let's see, Detroit, the automakers release vehicle sales for February. It's a busy Monday. And then Tuesday, Obama is expected to release his 2015 budget, and the Senate Banking, House, and Urban Affairs Committee hearing on the nomination of Stanley Fischer to be vice chairman of the Federal Reserve. So a lot of things going on just Monday and Tuesday. So it should be a fairly active beginning of the week. Yesterday we had Yellen. She talked. She said that the Fed still expects the economy to strengthen this year, which would put more people back to work. But she also told the Senate Banking Committee that recent economic data have pointed to weaker than expected gains in consumer spending. Of course, that's what we were just talking about just a little bit ago, and job growth. So, they say everything's going to be all peachy and rosy in one breath, and the next breath, they give it and they taketh away.
I understand. Janet Yellen, here's an article from the Washington Examiner. Janet Yellen backs Congressional Budget Office minimum wage study maligned by the White House. As you probably recall, President Obama proposed to raise the minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10 over the next 3 years. The Congressional Budget Office, however, found that raising the minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10 and indexing it to inflation would raise wages for 16.5 million Americans and lift 900,000 out of poverty, but at the cost of 500,000 jobs. Now, President Obama's administration, of course, disagrees. They don't believe that his program, his proposal, is going to cost 500,000 jobs. In fact, in an unusual criticism from a nonpartisan budget scorekeeper, Jason Furman, chairman of the President's Council of Economic Advisers, responded to the CBO report, Congressional Budget Office, by directly challenging its estimates of job losses, claiming that they do not reflect the overall consensus view of economists. Well, that's interesting to me. It's interesting from this perspective. We have economists who will generate a consensus view. What's that tell you? Tells you they're essentially voting on whether they think the government or the economy is going to go up, down, or sideways. They don't have, if they're looking for consensus views, they don't have real control. They don't have real knowledge. They have interpretations of the facts that are presented to them, and some say it means one thing and some say it means another thing, but no one really knows. And that's cause for concern. It certainly it does not inspire confidence. They don't really know what's going on if they need a consensus view of economists to figure it out. You would think that you send people to school and they get a degree in economics. And when they get out, then they look at the numbers and they can look at the formula and apply the numbers and say, well, this is what's going to happen. And the truth is, they don't know. They're going to vote. All right? The economy is being run by consensus. It's being run by what? It does not inspire confidence. In any case, Federal Reserve Chairwoman Janet Yellen disagreed with that assessment. All right, the assessment that there wouldn't be a loss of 500,000 jobs. She disagreed with that assessment at a Senate Banking Committee hearing and instead lent credence to the idea that the wage increase favored by President Obama would cost 500,000 jobs. According to Yellen, she said, the Congressional Budget Office is as qualified as anyone to evaluate that literature. And she said, and when she went on, she said, I wouldn't want to argue with their assessment. There are a range of studies, and they cited them. Yellen acknowledged that, but she added that the Congressional Budget Office is good at this kind of evaluation. First point, as I've already mentioned, they're measuring the economy by consensus. They take a vote on what to do. That should be troubling. That's like taking a vote of what to do. You're driving a car, and you got a half a dozen kids in the back seat, and you're driving the car, and you got your cousin or your brother-in-law on the other side, and to take a vote on whether you should shift it into forward or into reverse. Let's vote on whether we should hit the accelerator or hit the brake. It just doesn't make sense to do things that way. But here's Janet Yellen. The president says, no problem, we're not going to lose 500,000 jobs. And she says, yeah, I think we will. In doing so, she's signaling that she's not going to be pushed around by Obama. She's willing to stand up to him. She could have just let that slide and not even talked about that issue. She could have ducked it. Instead, she says, no, I think the numbers are correct. So she's openly disagreeing with the president and tells us that, the woman has some substance. What else, Melody?
Well, the Venezuela, not to change, but it's there. I didn't realize that their inflation had hit 56% in 2013. Yeah.
That's hyperinflation. Anytime some people say hyperinflation starts at 50%, I don't know. I think it might even, if it were me, I'd say hyperinflation is down 25-30%.
I would think
even
so.
Below that. But everybody pretty much agrees at 50% you're at hyperinflation. That's trouble. Those prices are changing so fast that you have the money you get today, you have to spend today because tomorrow it will have lost. It will be less valuable, significantly less valuable,
and
measurably.
I think what we're also seeing in Venezuela, which we hadn't seen or at least I hadn't read about or talked about, was because of their protests that they're having, their transportation, it's beginning to choke their transportation, their distribution of food.
Yeah.
They have trucks, 1,500 trucks that distribute about half the country's vegetables are sitting idle in the western city of La Grita, waiting for the roads blocked by the demonstrators to be reopened. So here's a picture that shows what happens when how your distribution is so important. And in this country, our food supplies in the stores, I mean, you go in there, you see the food, you think it's always going to be there. Yeah. Periodically.
Always is. Every time you walk in, there's always it's like no one ever buys anything. There's always more food.
Periodically, you'll hear about the hurricane where everybody went into the grocery store, the shelves are bare. But then in the next couple of days, the food is back and everybody goes on the merry way. But it could be severe when it happens to your whole country. Then what? I mean, when you have hurricanes, they're such an isolated area. But what happens if half the country's food in trucks is sitting idle somewhere?
And the reason they'll be sitting idle is because people perhaps overreact, panic. They are motivated emotionally to either stop working and strike, or they're motivated emotionally to get out there and demonstrate some way where they block the roads.
It's the transport companies, due to the threat of violence as the protesters face off against the security of the barricades, so they're more
inflation that's driving them nuts.
Yeah, and it's so again, here you have something that the distribution stops for the whole country. And my point is here in this country. So again, get prepared, folks. And just because it's happening in Venezuela doesn't mean it can happen here. I don't want it to, but the possibility does exist. So get prepared. And if you get prepared, so I thought that was just interesting.
No, it's more than interesting. And it's the sort of thing that, you're exactly right. It can happen here, and it can happen surprisingly. You know, it's the sort of thing you can kind of see it coming, but when it finally gets there, you don't know if it's going to be here tomorrow or 2 years from now.
And something else,
it'll sneak up on you, and you better be prepared before it happens, because if you don't, it'll be too late.
And also, they're experiencing the shortages of the food, the staple goods. It hit a historic high of 28% in January, meaning three out of 10 products were unavailable.
Yeah.
So you're talking, we forget. I mean, we're so, we have a great. But we forget deliveries.
But
of
it's
milk,
great, but it's fragile.
Flour, exactly.
There's the problem. You know, there was a time when you talk about food. It used to be that a grocery store was a building, and about three quarters of it was warehouse, and about a quarter of it was where you bought the products. And the grocery store would order a truckload of beans, and they'd store them back in the warehouse. They'd order a truckload of cucumbers or whatever and store them back in the warehouse, and beef, and they would store it back in the warehouse, and then they'd bring it out of the warehouse as they needed it, and they'd sell it to the customers. Today we have a just-in-time supply system, and we don't have a warehouse sitting behind the grocery store. What happens is, and all of you know it, and you all see it, every time you place an order, it goes into the computer right there at the checkout stand. They know you bought a can of beans. That's subtracted from the inventory. An order for another can of beans is placed, and there will be beans coming to replace whatever it is that you ordered today. It'll be here tomorrow. All right? Maybe even here tonight. I don't know how fast they get. I don't know how fast. But the point is, there's a very efficient supply system. Just in time. They get new beans in the grocery store just when they're about running out of beans. They get more beans. And it looks like there's an endless supply of beans. But that system is fragile, because if anything stops those trucks from moving, you've got maybe 3 days' supply of groceries in the grocery store. That's it. Used to be you had weeks or months in the warehouse. There is no warehouse. It's only what's on the shelves. That's all they've got.
You know, Al, and I'm a generation where when I go grocery shopping, and I'm single, and so I don't have to cook for a family, I just buy what I need. You know, maybe for a couple days, I put it in the freezer. I remember my mother. It was almost, it was almost an obsession. Mm-hmm. She had, because she was a depression baby, she had to have the freezer packed.
Yep.
You'd use one item and she'd go buy two.
Yeah.
And it just used to drive me crazy because I couldn't understand, you know, why was
See,
that
See, she
need?
Was reacting to the mm-hmm. previous depression, and what's happening right now is we are not reacting to the next depression,
that's right.
And that's where we may be headed. Mm-hmm. After the next depression, we're all going to buy, that's the stock. If you want to invest in stock, invest in freezers.
Freezers.
Okay. Now, they won't make much money off of them. It'll be 10 years before you make much money off that investment. But that's the one that's going to, boy, they're going to be buying freezers and stacking that stuff away after the next depression.
It's something that the folks, you know, didn't lose sight of. And at least my parents, my mother didn't.
It's like that. My folks had a big freezer down in the basement also, and I don't know. It seemed kind of I didn't exactly get it either. You know, you go down there and they say, go down there and get some asparagus. We'd go out and pick fresh asparagus and whatever, and we'd clean it and put it in the refrigerator or in the freezer, and we had great fresh asparagus. I mean, we made it. That was something we were pleased with. We had great fresh asparagus for Christmas and Thanksgiving that we'd picked our own, on our own, out in the country, out in the countryside. But you go dig into that freezer and it's just all these lumps of white paper and try to figure out what's in them. And I don't know. It was just like hard bricks, and it didn't exactly make a lot of sense to me. I didn't get it at the time. I get it now. I understand it now, and got to prepare for those kinds of problems. And probably not. That's not a recommendation that you buy a freezer and you fill it right now, because in a worst case scenario, which is the least likely scenario,
probably you don't need a freezer.
Like we won't get to the worst scenario or worst case scenario. Probably won't happen. But if you did have a worst case scenario, we're going to shut down the electrical grid. And what's going to keep your food cold in the freezer?
Outside.
You're gonna have a freezer full of spoiled food, and that won't, if you don't have enough trouble already, that will not be trouble you'll enjoy. We're gonna enjoy this weekend as best we can. We hope you do too. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We're out of time. We'll be back next Monday. Hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.